Well, good morning, everyone, and what a wonderful way to end the conference, really. And many are on their way home and will be, if not already. And so we want to pray for that this morning and just pray for fruitfulness as a result of the conference. You know, it's awfully easy to have a mountaintop experience. And as James says, you look in the mirror and then turn away and you forget what you saw, right? And very soon the cares and pressures of the world will again have their influence and pressure on us, and even as we drive home, we'll probably see fleshly billboards and all that kind of thing that's out there, and we need to just pray that it would go deep within us, whatever the Lord has for us, and we would really keep our focus on Him. And this morning we have just a wonderful prayer in the Bible. I think I always say that. This is always the best prayer in the Bible. It's not really always the best prayer, but it's such a good prayer. It's the prayer from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians church. And you know there's two great prayers in this little epistle in chapter 1 and chapter 3. And I want to just look at chapter 1 today and just remind us of how rich we are spiritually. And as I just read the first few verses here as we get into the prayer, as you listen, just try to grasp these words. They're really beyond our understanding, I think. The words are pretty simple, but what they really mean is so profound that it just defies our comprehension, it would seem to me. But too often, I think we live like beggars. Woe is me, and woe is the world, and you don't know what I'm going through, and all of this. And we've got our minds so far off of what the Lord has given us spiritually, and we're all focused on ourselves and on our flesh and all that stuff around us, which is very real. But we don't want to go there, really. And so let's focus this morning for a few minutes just on what He has given us. So let's pray, and then we'll sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Father, how I thank You for these precious brothers and sisters here this morning and for the times that You've given us all week, for the great teaching that we have received, for the many examples of Your great faithfulness that we have heard. And so here we are, Lord, on this last morning before we depart, and we just want to look to You. We just want to thank You. We just want to pray that You will be exalted above all else in this conference and in our lives every day, every moment of every day. The purpose of our lives is to give You glory, to glorify Your name. And so, Lord, we want to just praise You and thank You this morning as we look at a prayer in the Bible and a prayer of the therefore into this prayer, which follows the list of the great spiritual gifts that have been summarized for us in these first 14 verses or so. And so, Lord, lead us now as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon us. The words, you know them anyway, but on the top of your notes. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. So turning to the Epistle of Ephesians, just beginning, I'll read the first few verses. So just listen. Follow along if you want in your Bibles, if you want. But just to listen to what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, to the believers who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How awesome that is. I mean, each one of these verses is so profound. Every spiritual blessing he has blessed us with. Do you feel blessed this morning? And then verse 4, just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Did you realize you're that old? That's pretty old, isn't it? Before the foundation of the world, whenever that was, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame. Boy, oh boy, just think of where we were. I think of where I was without Christ. As far away as that as you can get. Holy and without blame. But that's how he has called you, and that's how he's called me, all believers. That we should be holy and without blame in love, having what? Predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Those of you who have been involved in adoptions or know of adoptions, it's a profound thing. But what are we adopting? We're adopting someone else for a very short period of time, right? Just a few years. But we've been adopted forever. Can you believe that? Can you understand that? I can't. It's too much for me. As sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. Now, believe it or not, that's the end of the first sentence of the blessings. Starting in verse 3 into 13, that's one sentence. Or verse 10. Now the second sentence, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. And the third sentence, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Notice the emphasis on the word there. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his. So whenever you're feeling worthless and depressed and why am I here and this is a waste of my time or anybody's time, pull your scripture out. This is a good place to review, right? Review the blessings that you've been given. Nothing to do with you. Not based on anything you deserve at all. He didn't get a good catch when he got me. I don't think he got a good catch when he got you. Amen. I think we were wretched sinners, worthless, amen, basically. However, created in his image, but fallen through sin. And now being reconciled by the finished work of his son through the blood that was shed, our penalty paid and forgiveness being given, this is the blessings that we have. So now Paul begins his prayer, is where we wanted to get to in the first place, really. And he begins it with, therefore. So therefore, understanding all of these riches, here is his prayer. He says, I also, after I heard of two things, one, your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now that's, of course, the true mark of a believer, right? We become a believer by having faith in Christ, no other way. And then, as a result of that faith in Christ, we are to love others as we are to love ourselves, right? We are to love the Lord with all our heart. First great commandment, second great commandment, to love others as we love our neighbor. And then Jesus had a fresher commandment in the Gospel of John right before he was crucified, a new or a fresher commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Paul now is hearing of the believers demonstrating these two things, and he's so excited about it that he wants to just thank them for receiving this gift, these gifts of from the Lord. So he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks. Now in the Pauline epistles, I counted 30 thanks, 30 times of giving thanks. There's a thankfulness in Paul's heart here that I think that we should not miss in this prayer. How much of your prayer is given over to thanks to the Lord? Do you always thank him in every prayer? I don't really mean if you're drowning in a pool, you'd probably say, Lord, save me, as Peter would cry out. But in our normal prayers, we want to be thanking him, don't we? And how can you thank him unless you got your mind on him and fixed on him and your mind off yourself, right? So Paul is big here on giving thanks, but he does not cease to give thanks. I don't think he's writing about me. I wish I could say that. But he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And now we have a big that in here. We've got a couple of that's in this prayer, but the first big that is what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that's his first focus of the prayer, that we would have from the Father the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that's not something you can get, but it is something you can receive apparently, and he's praying for that. And so they're believers, they have faith in the Lord, they love one another, but he's praying that they would have several things here which are all really impossible apart from just the Lord. But the first one is, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, that really is the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your innermost being. It's not just your physical eyes. Of course, we see with them, very important. But this is that we would have eyes within, the seer, the S-E-E-R, the seer in us, the spiritual seer in us, that they would be enlightened, that you would see more spiritually, a better vision spiritually. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, why? Why is he praying for this? There's going to be three that's here. Well, one that and then three what's here. So let's look at the that's. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what, the first one, what is the hope of his calling? Do you know that? What is the hope of your calling? What's he talking about here? I'm not sure he's talking about the calling to go to Africa or the calling to go to China or to Romania or wherever it is. I think he's talking about to know the calling that he's called us out of darkness into light, much more broad than just a few years of service here on earth. But he's called us out of the darkness into light. Do you understand that? Well, apparently the Ephesians needed to understand it better because he's praying that they would understand that, right? That they would have their eyes spiritually seeing this. So consider that a minute, the hope of your calling. And it's actually his calling on you. It's not your calling on him. His calling on you from darkness into light forever, not just for a few years, not just in the prime of your life here on earth, but forever. And secondly, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And notice that his is capitalized. How can that be? How can God the Father have an inheritance from me or from you or from all the believers? That's what it says. that our eyes of our understanding may be enlightened to know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, in the believers. We are so precious. You are so precious to him that your believing and accepting him brings him glory. And it's his inheritance, it says, that we would know that. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's so awesome. And then finally, the last what. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, Paul is praying for things here which are impossible for us to know in the natural. There's no way we can know the greatness of the power of the Lord. The third what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. What power is that? It's the power according to the working of his mighty power. Now, you got that down? You understand that really thoroughly? If you do, please see me afterward and explain it to me, because it's too great for me. I don't understand. It's too great. According to the working of his mighty power. How great is his power? Well, we are told in 1 Peter that the living hope that we have in him, that we are kept by his power, by the power of God through faith to salvation. We are kept here in this lifetime by the power of God, is what the scripture says, because we are so special in his sight, having believed in his blessings that we see here. So finally then, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And what is the standard there? It's the resurrection, because it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you have a grasp of the significance of the power of the resurrection? Oh yeah, it's something that happened a couple thousand years ago, I guess. That's what I've always been taught. But think about it. Think about it. Think about what that did. What the resurrection proved, what the resurrection showed, what the resurrection confirmed. The resurrection confirmed that his redemptive work for us was valid, was accepted by the Father. His redemptive work for us is finished. All has been done. And so everything we read and think about and look at man trying to do this and do that and everything else, it's all for naught on that side of it, because it's all been done, isn't it? That power of the resurrection, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and then what? Seated him. What does seating him mean? It means his work is done, right? Not his intercessory work is done, because we read in, of course, Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. But here, his work is done. He has been seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. And how far is that? It's up on top of Mount Everest, or, you know, pretty high place? No, it's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only today, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Every name, he's above for all times, all eternity. And then notice this, he put all things under his feet, all things, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. He always has been, always will be, and regardless of what man tries to do to try to unify and have one great big religion or whatever else, it's all for naught, unless it's under the auspices of the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. So he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is what? What are we? What is the bride of Christ? We are his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So that's quite a prayer. So take it with you and meditate on it and just thank him for the riches that he's given us. Now, also on this particular sheet, I'm just calling your attention to something that I feel very strongly about, but I'm an American, not necessarily living in a foreign land, but I'm very excited about the new administration. You know, we got 5 devout Christians appointed already to the cabinet. We've got another 4 claiming to be Christians. We've got more Christians in the cabinet now than I can ever remember we've ever had. And we've got people like DeVos, Secretary of Education, who is a strong proponent for charter schools. All the way up and down the list, we've got people who are like-minded to the scriptures more than ever before. That doesn't mean we're going to turn the world around, But it does mean God has given us a little more grace, it seems to me. But we need to pray. We need to pray that the new administration will really seek the Lord. Now, Mike and Karen Pence are very strong believers. So we've got a Daniel, so to speak, right into the king's court, and he's been given a lot of position of prominence there. Priebus is a very strong believer. Jeff Sessions, he has his own Bible study, and we've got Christians there. And so all of this press that you read about how bad this election has gone and how disastrous everything is going to be, that's not coming from, shouldn't be coming from us. That's coming from the other side. And I'm not talking about political parties here. I'm talking about government being sensitive to the Lord. And we need to pray for that because there's going to be fierce, fierce battles. In this state here, California, we have what we call a supermajority. That means the liberals have control of everything. And, I mean, they're controlling the courts, they're controlling the House, the Senate and the representatives. And so they're going to be against everything. But think how good that is. If we'd gone the other way, getting all that from the White House, we'd had that all over the place, right? I mean, we've been spending some time recently in our own church being wondering about how bad it's going to get. Are they going to take away all the tax deductions? Are they going to shut down our Christian schools? Are they going to require all this perversity all throughout every single school and all of that? And I see God having given us a little bit of a pause button here, seems to me. But the wicked one is not going to sleep. He's not going to go back and say, oh, I'll give you the United States. And all the great Christian blessings that we've been trashing, you know, maybe this we'll slow down a little bit, but we need to pray. So here's a list of the cabinet so far as of a week ago. And you can look at that if you want. I've got the Calvary Chapel pastor list on here too. That's really more for the group we had on every Saturday. We have a prayer meeting, and this was from last Saturday's prayer meeting. I just brought it with me because it had a list of the cabinet and people and so forth. So if you feel called to pray for any of that, pray for that. But this morning, we just want to go to prayer now and focus primarily on fruitfulness from the conference and protection and blessings on us as we go home, and also for some of you have maybe been talking about entry, re-entry. Well, we're going to have some re-entry here after this conference. That's going back into the world, and we need prayer for that we would be changing the world rather than the world changing us, right? As Jesus would touch the leper, which was totally forbidden, because touching a leper would defile you. But when Jesus touches us or the world, he removes the defiling from us, and he does not become defiled. So being his now, we want to be touching the world, right? Not to be defiled by the world, but to be an instrument of his in the world, right? So let's go to prayer now and pray as led by the Spirit. Father, we thank you for this precious prayer in Ephesians. Thank you for the opportunity to kind of wrap this conference up this morning in a sense. And you brought many here this morning, Lord, and whether we have one or two or three or more, it's awesome. And here we have a whole bunch. And so, Lord, lead us now by your Spirit as we would be in one accord to bring prayers to you and intercessions to you this morning. In Jesus' name, lead us now. Amen.